This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network 2. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Coming up at 8:40, Timothy Gay, author of Rory Land, will join us in studio because it's Masters Week.
I thought, did he pronounce his name right? Is it Timothy Gay or Timothy Hay? What is it? Is he correct?
Spelled G-A-Y.
Okay.
I would imagine it's Gay.
All right, I just want to make sure. Okay.
All good. So White Lotus gets a lot of run on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to watch the season finale. I've got it teed up. Going to watch it tonight. Receding hairlines apparently are suddenly sexy. Drive, this is great news for us. Thanks to White Lotus, Hunk, Walton, Goggins.
Walt.
He's 53 years old in real life. He plays the troubled and moody Rick Hatchett, and I guess somehow makes hair loss sexy in White Lotus.
What's the evidence of this?
I mean, it's just here's the evidence.
Did they survey thousands of people?
New York Post. That's the evidence.
I know, but they have to have a rationale.
I'll just read it from the story. Ahead of the finale on Sunday, fans are drooling over the Hawaiian shirt-wearing vacationer, declaring that he makes receding hairlines hot, and the phenomenon has even earned a name, the Walton Goggins effect.
I don't know how he is on White Lotus. I don't watch it, but a lot of the pictures I see when you Google his name is he's the guy that has, like, he hasn't shaved it at all. He's got long hair, but a huge receding hairline.
Yeah, he's got a big bald spot, too.
It says, receding hairlines now have sex appeal, a headline from The Telegraph.
Huh.
Another, quote, I love Walton so much, he's half forehead, half teeth, and yet it all works. The man is hot.
What?
From one Redditor.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
all right.
Walton Goggins somehow balding
like
in the most handsome way possible, another person wrote online.
Yeah.
He's definitely a brooding character in a lot of his
moody. He's like the moodiest guy you've ever seen on TV.
Very intense. He's an excellent actor. Mm-hmm. I don't know if women are dying for men with receding hairline. And then if you lined up two men with the identical nose, facial features, and the only difference was one had a receding hairline and the other had a full head of hair, I'm finding a hard time believing they're going to prefer the guy with the receding hairline.
JP, experts say his sex appeal is more than just his locks or lack thereof. It's also his riz. It's a combo of his confidence.
Well, everything.
Riz is big. His nonchalance and his attitude, as well as his style. Everything works together. That's from hairstylist Luke Hesherson.
Okay, I get that. I mean, that makes sense, of course.
This is hair elitism by JP right here. This is the stuff that ricks me, yeah. Where he thinks he's so much more handsome than guys who are maybe slightly baldy.
I'm not saying that. I'm basically agreeing. I'm agreeing with you, like actually,
hair,
Draft.
I like
how you're trying. I like how you're trying to make an argument, but I'm actually agreeing with you, because if you didn't believe it, if you didn't believe it, then why would you try and get a surgery for more hair?
That has
hair?
Nothing to do with how women perceive me.
What? So that why do you want to get more hair?
Because it would make me feel better about the way I perceive myself, not how women view me. You said if you lined up guys with identical faces, that women would not be interested in guys who are...
I didn't say they wouldn't be interested. I find it hard to believe that they would prefer the balding guy. Maybe they would.
Maybe they don't like guys with gray hair.
That may be true.
Maybe they like balding guys with brown hair.
That may be true.
Guys that look
75. Do you posit that?
What?
Do you posit that? That if you had...
Yeah, I posit that.
now it's just a battle.
Yeah,
now
it is. You know what? I'll sit back and just listen to it. I'm fine with it.
I mean, well, he's actually basically, throughout his entire tenure on the show, agreed with the premise that women prefer guys with hair.
Oh, I don't know if he agrees with that. I know he said he's always wanted hair. It bugs him that he doesn't have hair. It bugged me. But my gray hair bugs me, too. So,
sure.
I mean, everybody's got stuff that bugs them about themselves.
Walton Goggins, he's not being truthful. Not that he's clearly not all natty.
What do you mean?
Well, if you look at him in The Shield 20 years ago, he was way more bald then than he is now. So he filled it in, for sure.
He had a lot shorter hair.
He still has a receding hairline.
Oh, really?
I gotta
look at him
from
The Shield. Yeah. I knew I've seen the guy before, but I don't know why. Let me see.
He's got a pretty extensive acting resume. Dude's been around for a long time.
Well, he's a fantastic. He's been in some fantastic shows.
He has. I didn't notice it until the finale. And who knows? Because sometimes they wear wigs and stuff and makeup. But he has the receding hairline, and it's long and kind of flows out. But he definitely had like the big bald spot in the middle.
He's always sweaty. Now maybe that's just the fact that they're shooting this in Thailand, and everybody's kind of sweaty. But he's, like, I think by far the sweatiest guy on the show.
Right. Do you think they missed him before a scene?
No, I think he just pumps out the sweat.
But
I don't know.
Can't we all agree? I think we all agree on this basic premise. I've always said, and this is why, like, Jason disagrees with me, I think, oftentimes. Like,
what?
Like, women are not as concerned with looks, obviously, as guys are. Guys are more shallow. Women are more into... Without question, women are more into riz than they are your hair or your whatever.
Right, the personality.
Personality, riz.
Over hair? Yeah, I would agree with that.
Over hair and over a lot of stuff. You could have a belly. They don't really care. You know, they don't really care. I mean, they prefer you to be, you know, look good. But if you got riz, it goes so far.
What's the character that Goggins plays, and who is he?
His name is Rick Hatchett.
Was he part of a big rich family, or who is he?
He seems to be a grifter. I think that's what you would categorize him.
Yeah, I don't know what
they never really say what he did. He has a certain purpose on the show.
Yeah.
For himself.
He's kind of on a mission on this trip. I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't watched it yet. And please don't.
Is he involved in a bunch of the sex stuff?
No.
He's not.
No.
It's just Patrick Schwarzenegger.
There's others, but.
Okay. So there's no real sex appeal to this dude on the show.
He has a girlfriend.
Right, but it's not the focus.
No.
His riz is not the focus.
No. Okay. Not really.
Okay.
But apparently he's got a lot of it.
In real life.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just weird to keep saying riz.
Well, it's such a great word.
I know it's a good word.
I don't know why Drab gets mad at my premise. You know, it's kind of based on that story.
He thinks that you're a little bit of a snob because you got hair and he doesn't.
I called you a hair elitist and you got all Rick. And made it not fun. Which happens a lot anytime you poke you at all.
Well, sorry that I want to argue my side.
JP's making things unfun.
I mean, it's a topic on receding hair. I mean, he's got to win every argument. It's got to be.
I didn't create the argument.
To the death.
I didn't create the argument. All I said was, you argued it. I said,
the sexiest guy I've ever seen.
I didn't bring up myself. I didn't bring up myself at all. You argued it. What I said was, if you lined up women and had the same guy with the same features, and one was balding and one had a full head of hair, I think they would prefer the guy with hair.
If they
you
had,
then argued it. So don't say that I argued it. I put something out there and you argued it.
Did you see this turning into this?
You brought
it up. Don't say that I argued it. You argued it.
You brought it up. Nobody was talking about comparing guys with hair to not having hair. You made the argument with yourself.
What do you mean? The whole premise of the article was about that.
The premise of the article is that JP's saying, all right, I think I could be a neutral observer here. I think
all
I could
the article
be a
said was that balding guys are having their moment. Last summer was short king summer. It's receding hairline summer.
And JP's contesting. He's arguing it.
So everything's a competition.
Mm. He's saying it's not true. He's saying that at the end of the day, he thinks this article is BS, that if you had two guys equal riz, equal everything, one guy a little bit hurting up here, the guy with more hair is going to win. I mean,
if they're identical twins and one has more hair, probably.
Right.
Everything else the same.
But I think I'm arguing that riz overcomes all of it.
I agree.
Yeah. So if you got the riz, don't even worry about it. That's why I'm letting myself go.
I mean,
a little bit, Case.
I mean,
riz and money. Who was the guy from the Cars? His knee hurting looking.
Ricco Kaser.
You can trounce everything.
Yeah, with anybody. If you're a rock star,
you could be. Who's the guy from Blues Traveler? Is he still with us?
I think so.
You could be John Popper. John Popper's probably got so many. Like his body count's probably absurd.
Oh, it's probably sick.
And he's. Let's be honest. He's grotesque.
John Popper is still with us.
Yeah.
Still with us. Born in 1967.
Probably, he probably slays. Now, I don't even know if he has riz, but he's a rock star.
And he can play the harmonica. That's butt hard to do. sing and play the harmonica at the same time.
They got a kid on Idol that does that, Cakes. Maybe you should watch.
Maybe I shouldn't.
So have you guys all settled down over here?
I was always settled down.
Let's go to Andre in Manassas. Andre, what's up, bud?
Hey, first of all, man, some of the hottest guys in Hollywood are bald, man. Morris Chestnut, Jason Statham, Telly Savalas. We all look good, man.
Telly Savalas.
I like that.
Go ahead.
Walter Goggins, man, I mean, he's great in that show. I love him. He's actually in a show called Righteous Gemstones that comes on right after White Lotus, and he plays Uncle Baby Billy, just a country Southern Baptist preacher. It is the most hilarious show out there, and I'm surprised you guys don't just tune in and watch it after you watch White Lotus.
I've seen, ads for Righteous Gemstones. I don't know if that...
It is my cup of tea.
He's got the guy from... Right. I'm going to forget the name of the show. Is it Eastbound and Down?
Yeah, Eastbound and Down, to say, but this is his best show. I think Eastbound and Down and the other shows he had, I think he was just kind of working up. This time, I mean, I think he perfected this one. He was warming up and he got it. Because I've tried to watch those shows before. It was kind of raunchy. It wasn't really that funny. But this one, he kind of hit it out of the park.
Nice.
Mm. Are you a White Lotus guy?
Yeah, I watch White Lotus. Why not? White Lotus, Eastbound and Down. Obviously, I watch Gangs of London. You guys still haven't watched that show. That's the best show. But it's still on Netflix, Gangs of London. I'm telling you guys, you know, that's you're going to wonder why I never watched that show before.
Put it on the list.
All right. Thank you, Andre. I appreciate it, buddy.
There's too many shows out there.
There's a lot of content.
I mean, there's just not enough time.
It's a lot to digest.
But everyone talks about the White Lotus. I haven't watched one second of it.
You haven't watched one second of one season?
Nope.
He's a big Paramount Plus guy. I feel like you watch Landman and all those type of shows.
Loves Yellowstone and all the offshoots.
Taylor Sheridan.
How would you even
genius.
Know what's on Paramount? Like, honestly, unless it was like a famous show.
Those are famous shows. Yellowstone.
Yeah. Is Yellowstone even still a thing? I don't even know.
I never watched Yellowstone.
Is Yellowstone still a thing? Because Costner's off it, but they still do it? Without him?
I believe so. I don't have... Oh. I haven't followed that one.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get off arguing about who's more handsome, bald guys or guys with hair. And we'll get into an NFL exec that's afraid that our guy, EB, Jaden, might have a sophomore slump in 2025. Mm-hmm. So we'll discuss that next here on The Fan. So speculation about Jaden Daniels' 2025 campaign, it's April, and people are trying to figure out what's going to happen in year two for Jaden Daniels. So here's a quote from an anonymous executive.
Anonymous executive.
This is from an article published by The Athletic where they surveyed senior personnel around the NFL. Quote, "I'm afraid that is the team that is going to have the quarterback hit the sophomore slump," one exec said of the Commanders. "And now you have invested in all these older guys, and you're not really building a team anymore. You're just adding pieces. At some point, you get diminishing returns with all those old guys," end quote.
I mean, I think there's something to be said for that part about just adding old pieces, you know, older guys. Mm-hmm. They can only give you 1 year here or there. But why does he think, give me the rationale why he thinks Jaden's going to have the sophomore slump.
The executive mentioned the slump experienced by Houston Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud, who struggled to hit the same efficiency marks that he did in his rookie campaign while playing behind a struggling offensive line. Now, that offensive line featured Laramie Tunsil, who is now protecting Jaden Daniels.
I was going to say, because the line got better.
Right.
This line got better.
In theory, it's possible there's a slump.
Anything's possible.
They actually have, in my opinion, improved the offense by bringing in Deebo Samuel and Tunsil. And then we'll see what happens in the draft. It's not like he was asked to pass the ball 40 times a game. They had a balanced attack. Part of it was his legs. They were one of the most explosive offenses because of his running ability, which is a little different than C.J. Stroud. I'm not saying Stroud doesn't run, but Daniels is a la Lamar Jackson.
Well, he basically doesn't run. I mean, he can move around in the pocket, but he doesn't have that explosive like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Right, Jaden it's a Daniels different style. Ability. That's my point, is that you're going to get still the dual threat quarterback, and do the numbers come down a little bit? It's possible. I mean, he had such a great touchdown to interception ratio. Might throw, you know, like Stroud didn't have an awful year. He just didn't have a great year. You know, in his rookie season, the expectations were so high, so the bar gets raised.
And he had obstacles too. I mean, Nico Collins got banged up. He had a hamstring injury that dogged him. Yeah. Stephon Diggs blows out his ACL.
Yeah,
Tank Dell was banged up. Like there were a lot. There were a lot of issues for C.J. Stroud.
I think this year is going to be like last year in a sense that injury is going to be the biggest threat to Jaden. You know, having a good or bad year. I don't necessarily think they're going to come up with some scheme that he's not going to be able to kind of figure out, or that Kingsbury won't work out. I think the skill set is it is what it is. It's pretty darn elite. He'll be fine if he can stay healthy.
Oh, he's gonna.
If he plays
15 games, he's just gonna wake up out of bed and rush for 800 yards in 15 games.
Like that. So maybe his touchdown to pick in ratio goes down.
Yeah.
But if he can run, he's going to, like you said, he's gonna have 700, 800 yards, and you know, call it 6 to 8 touchdowns.
I wouldn't expect a slump.
That's not going away.
I don't agree with that exactly. I don't know that anybody really agrees with that. Exec, other than if you say that certain statistics might go down a little bit, but I'm with Cakes. The legs aren't going to slump.
I mean, I expect him to rush for like 950 or 1,000 if he stays healthy. I mean, 800 I feel like is the floor.
What did he do this year? What was the number?
High 800s.
Yeah, close to 9.
I think in a perfect world, I'd like him to rush a little less, so it might trend a little lower.
Remember how many times
higher?
He had 4th and 5 and he got 10 yards?
Oh, I remember.
You know, I mean, or it was 3rd and long and he got enough to get to the first. But
in a perfect world, he doesn't have to run as much.
But like you said, I mean, you can't control the injuries.
He rushed for 891.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a great year for a quarterback.
He missed basically all of the Panthers game.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So give him another 50 or 60.
Yeah, he would have been mid-nines.
He had a huge run. That's why he got knocked out. Remember, he ran for like 50 yards in that game, took the shot to the ribs, didn't come back.
I just don't see a scenario where obviously the league is going to adjust. They're going to throw different things at him. But they did as the season progressed. I think he and Cliff will figure it out. I think adding Deebo is going to just give him more options. Adding Tunsil, obviously going to help them a little bit. I guess they're going to move Coleman to right tackle. That's the plan.
Seems to be the plan, yeah.
I don't know. He should have a little better protection. Hopefully they get a little bit better run blocking, so the running game's a little bit better. I don't expect them to have a dramatic drop-off, although I do agree the touchdown-interception ratio might be hard to sustain. Yes. I'm not sure that's sustainable.
I'm I think the first half of the season last year, he only had two interceptions through eight games.
And I think he did it at least in his last year or two, or maybe even throughout college. He didn't really throw a lot of interceptions.
It's definitely one of his strong suits.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Look, he doesn't force it. He tucks it and runs.
Yeah. Sophomore slumps, it's a thing. It happens. Is it possible? Sure. I just wouldn't bet on it.
So are third-year slumps, fourth-year slumps. I would argue
career slumps.
Kirk Cousins had a slump. Then, you know, in year 14 or whatever.
Or he hit the wall.
Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe they hit the wall.
He was old and recovering from an Achilles tear.
But when someone says sophomore slump, I envision a bad year.
Well, I mean, he could.
You know, and I don't think he's going to have a bad year.
Like, yeah, but the bloom was off. Like, the Stroud is an interesting example because he was the sexiest guy around 9 months ago. But like, and now nobody, they don't think of him in the same
way. But like Cake said, I mean, he had a bunch of injuries that he had to deal with at receiver.
Sure. I don't think he sucks.
And now Tunsil leaves, but I don't know. When someone says sophomore slump, I thought, okay, he must have had a bad year.
Yeah, but compare him to Stroud, if you just want to use Stroud. So as a rookie, you know, he kind of burst on the scene and maybe exceeded everybody's expectations. He had 23 touchdowns as a rookie. Last year, which they're calling a slump, he had 20. Not that much of a difference. The difference was his interceptions went from 5 to 12. But it's not terrible.
No, it's not super. It's not dynamic.
Completion percentage was about the same.
It's just not. There's nothing that special about those numbers.
Yeah.
But you know what? They still won their division.
Right.
Yeah.
They won a bad division.
Okay, but they still won double-digit games, and they won to the playoffs. Did he have a lesser year than his rookie? Of course. But he was still good enough to win a division with all those injuries at receiver.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What would be the other reasons why he would have a sophomore slump?
Maybe the tougher schedule. I mean, there's going to be factors like that.
Yeah. I have this crazy confidence with him, Cakes.
Well, I mean, his rookie campaign just emboldened that.
Although I remember, why wouldn't you? I remember when Robert came in, you know, in 2012, I felt like he was just going to pull victory out of every game. Like, once he got going, like, I wanted Shanny to keep him in there when he was hurt because I just felt like he was going to pull every game out. So I guess I kind of had that same sense for Robert. And then, you know, I hate to relitigate it all, but obviously Jaden's toolbox is bigger than Robert's. So I don't think we should have those kinds of issues.
It's nice that the only offseason drama for Jaden is his mom trying to sit in between him and Juju Watkins.
Right.
And not like him and his mom marching into Dan Quinn's office and Cliff's office and saying, well, we're not gonna run these plays in the offense. I just don't think these are gonna be productive plays.
It appears Jaden's just a big time sports fan. He's been at so many events. Like, I've seen him at Lakers games. Mm-hmm. When Luka got traded there to watch LeBron, we saw him with Juju. He was at a PSG game.
Yep.
Where else have I seen him? Has he been like to one of the indie races or something?
I don't know.
He's been to a lot of events.
Saw him congratulating Ovi on the reel of all the
Was he on there? I didn't.
He was
see
on
any
there.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a random reel. Like, they had Danny DeVito in there and Vince Vaughn.
They had like the lead singer of Train was in there. Pat Monahan. I mean, good for him, but it's kind of weird. Like, you got all these.
Like, Pat Sajak? Did he at least?
Pat Sajak, yeah. Okay,
Sajak actually did it right. Like, he starts his thing and then he puts his Caps hat on at the end.
I mean, Simone Biles is in there.
All right.
Like, I mean, it's.
But those are local.
Michael Phelps.
Yeah, Michael Phelps is local.
LeBron.
But there were a few that just seemed like weird. Like, okay, athletes. And all of a sudden, Danny DeVito?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That is strange.
He's a cultural icon.
Well, I think Ted, you know, Ted's involved in Hollywood a little bit, right? So maybe
jumped out of, I love Vince Vaughn. Mm-hmm. You know, we poke fun at Cakes for his bags. I've got bags. He's got like triple your bags. Yeah,
does he?
Yeah. If you look at Vince Vaughn's eyes. Oof.
Doesn't matter. He's got Riz.
Of course.
They're getting worse.
I love him.
Let's go to Chris in Olney. Chris, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? I appreciate y'all taking my call.
Yep. Yeah, thanks, man.
I wanted to mention that the way Jaden Daniels is taking his mental reps, you know, with this whole virtual reality
system. I love that, too.
You know, everybody in the defense is saying in the offseason they're going to get all the tape on him, and they're going to study up on him. They're going to be ready for him next year. But I actually think now that we have this ability for him to take these mental reps in the offseason, that he's actually going to be able to get just as better as the defenses will, if not better, and continue. So I will maybe say that we might have a little bit of, you know, heck, we went to the, you know, NFC Championship game next year. So anything less than that would be technically a slump. So I really think that with these off-season mental reps, he's really going to be able to put himself in a position to do better than the defenses will be able to do in the off-season.
You know, if you wanted to make an argument, and I'm not agreeing with this, but if you wanted to make an argument to agree with the anonymous executive who predicts a slump for Jaden Daniels, you might look at the first half of the season compared to the second half of the season. So first half of the season last year, he had just 7 touchdowns, 2 picks. His quarterback rating was 104.
Mm-hmm.
And his completion percentage was 72%. In the second half, his completion percentage dropped to 67%, which is not bad. And his quarterback rating dropped to 97. Mm-hmm. Now, he threw a bunch more touchdowns. He had 18 touchdowns in the second half with 7 picks. So maybe you could say, you could reach and say, well, the league was starting to figure him out, and his completion percentage came down, and his passer rating came down. But I do think that's a bit of a reach because he also threw way more touchdowns.
And he played really well in the playoffs.
Yes.
Especially in the Detroit game.
Right. But
he was awesome in that game.
I think they just opened it up as the season progressed. Because early in the season, the reason why EB put Cliff Kingsbury on double secret probation or whatever term you used was because early in the season, they really didn't open it up. They were kind of bringing him along slowly. And
they
kind of
took off. They started letting him just do his thing.
Yes.
You know, they took the handcuffs off.
He threw a few more interceptions, but he also threw a lot more touchdowns.
I really hated the first game because I felt they were just training wheels.
Yes.
Like, let's go, man. And then there were a couple other games where I just didn't love. But then, you know,
especially after the 3-game losing streak, and it was like,
it became obvious. Hey, you just got to let
this is how we're going to win games.
Remember, they were wrapping his ribs and they were just treating him like a baby. You know, maybe he needed to.
Got
to
lean into your superstars. And they realized this guy is the meal ticket.
Again, the attribute also. So what that speaks to, you know, the VR stuff that we've talked about ad nauseum is, I do believe it's an extra tool that certainly has helped this kid prepare. But again, the greats, they outwork everyone. And he's one of those guys that appears to have that trait. And I'll always bet on people that outwork everyone else. And then you combine his ability, character and everything else. Like, I just can't see a scenario where I bet against him. The only thing I'm worried about is injury.
Right.
Because he's going to be the first one there. He's already, I guarantee you, but all the games he's doing and everything, I guarantee you he's still, there's other things he's doing, working on his craft to make sure he doesn't stay behind, to stay ahead of it. And I'm sure other guys are doing it too, but he just seems to have that extra.
He's got the drive.
He's got that drive, that extra that the greats have.
He's not just arriving and saying, okay, I'm here. I'm good. I can coast on whatever I've been doing. He gets
better. We've said it multiple times. All the quarterback starved teams that are just desperate for something to happen, either in the draft or free agency, they just don't know where to go. And now this team has their guy. You got to feel so good that you have your guy.
I do.
Because it took forever.
I do, but with his frame, although the season progressed, I worried less about it. But, you know, as we, you know, get an off season here, we don't see him play for a while, I do get nervous just about his basic frame.
Well,
and I don't think he can get that much
stronger. That's his frame.
Stronger.
I mean, that's what you have to deal with.
It is what it is. It's going to kind of be that kind of slender
wiry,
guy.
Wiry, strong.
That, well, it also adds to his strength because of his speed.
Now, he runs, but Matt Ryan was always kind of the same build.
Yeah, but Matt Ryan didn't expose himself nearly as much.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think he's going to the Hall of Fame. You just got to stay healthy.
All right, when we come back, we will do EB's commercial break film study. I believe he's watching Jackson Dart, Ole Miss quarterback. So he'll give his grade and his breakdown on him when we come back. Bank local, cheer local. In business, every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. Coming up in about an hour, Timothy Gay, author of Roryland, will join us in studio because it is Masters Week. Thursday, first round of the Masters is looming.
I know you're looking forward to it.
Of course. But right now, it's time for EB's commercial break, film breakdown, as we get closer to the NFL draft.
Well, this one, I'll be honest with you, I'm not as prepared. I had to get my bagel.
You missed when he said, can you stall?
Yeah, Case didn't stall.
I did not. I was unaware.
Thanks, Case.
I can bring up something that I thought was interesting.
Whatever. Who cares? All right, so we got Jackson Dart.
Best name in the draft.
Great name. Mm-hmm. Originally started out at USC, played six games there, transferred to Ole Miss. He's one of these guys. One thing I do like, 45 games of college experience. Now, it pales to Jaden's 55 games, but he threw 81 touchdowns, just 27 interceptions. He could run a little bit, too. When you look at his rushing numbers, I think last year he ran for almost 500 yards. His sophomore season, he ran for 614. He's 14 rushing touchdowns in his 4 years. He's obviously got a big arm, right? And that's what everybody was raving about, I think, at his workout or at the combine. He relies on it a lot. He's not afraid to throw off the wrong foot. He's not afraid to throw running against his body. He could throw from different angles. He could take a little off of it. If I had anything that I would say that I didn't love, maybe, is that he throws a big ball, nice deep ball, but it has plenty of zip on it. But I almost wonder if it's too flat sometimes. Like, no one's going to compare Shedeur Sanders' arm to his, but I like how Shedeur's deep ball has more arc.
It's just some loft to it.
Yeah, I just like it better. I don't know. I saw the game that against USC. I saw Senior Bowl highlights while I could. I wanted to compare him and say he's kind of a poor man's Josh Allen, but he's not nearly as big. He only listed at 6'2", 220. Maybe you could say that because he does have some tough runs to him. I don't know. I think there's a lot to like.
Someone's going to take him in the first round, a late first round.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to like. I think he's a gamble.
Like, I wouldn't be shocked if the Browns took Travis Hunter at 2.
And then went later.
And then if Dart is there around 20 or 25, they trade back into the first round to grab him. Because that way they can get the quarterback and also get the super stud athlete that can play both ways.
Yeah, I agree.
What I like about him is his experience.
Mel Kiper's got him going to the Rams at 26 to learn behind Stafford.
It's a good heir apparent for Stafford. Like, if you're the Rams and he's there, that's a good guy to let Stafford groom for at least
maybe
a season.
Maybe he could go to the Steelers at 21.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is he does throw balls in traffic. I mean, he's going to throw interceptions. Even though he can run, he does get sacked. He does get stripped. He kind of looks silly sometimes. I don't know. He's an intriguing prospect, Cake. He certainly has the arm for it. I mean, maybe he'd come in there and be like Justin Herbert. I don't know. Shock people.
If he's a Justin Herbert as a rookie and you get him like at 20 or 25, then you just hit a freaking home run.
Yeah, I mean, he threw for, in his sophomore year in 13 games, he threw for almost 3,000 yards. Then he threw for 3,300 in his junior year. And then last year, 4,300 yards, 29 touchdowns, just 6 interceptions. So he's got a good pedigree.
Lane Kiffin likes to throw it. So pass happy offense, stud receivers.
I guess my only, I don't know how he processes. I can't tell. Everything's in a shotgun. He stands there and rips it. He's got the arm for it. I'll give him. Who's the last guy that I did, Valdez? Who was the last guy that I rated?
Who?
Milroe.
Yeah, you did Jalen Milroe.
And I gave him, what, like an 82 point something? Or 80 point whatever?
You gave him a 70.2.
You might need to write down your evaluation grade.
No, it's all tingle. It's tingle. I'm going to give him 80.6. Jackson
Dart. A lot better than Jalen Milroe.
Not necessarily a lot better.
Low 80s.
But I like his big arm. I like that he can actually, he'll lower his shoulder a little bit and run too. I don't know. It's an intriguing prospect.
He's about the same size as Sanders.
6'2", 225-ish.
It's about that. Yeah, maybe he's a little heavier. But yeah, he's about the same size.
I like Sanders' deep ball better, for whatever it's worth.
Dart looks like he's willing to tuck it and run, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He definitely has some shiftiness to him.
But he also gets stripped and gets kind of stuck in the pocket.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to make some mistakes. When you play on the edge like that, you're going to turn the ball over sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he definitely is not afraid to throw it in traffic. He'll be running to his left and throw against his body, that kind of thing. But whatever.
He's definitely
have him going anywhere from where to what?
Oh, I mean, I've seen him mostly in the late 20s.
In the late 20s?
Yeah. I mean, maybe he slips to the second round, but I've seen him anywhere from 21 to 28, 27, 28.
Drabby, do you like him? Are you a Jackson Dart guy?
I wouldn't bank my franchise on him. Too much inconsistency for me over the years. Some great games, mm-hmm. came up with duds sometimes. He's got some traits that you like, especially the mobility and just making plays. He's a playmaker. But long term, I just don't love the consistency of him. But if the Seahawks drafted him, I could work up a lather.
Yeah?
I don't hate him.
Well, you're not Dan Orlovsky. He raves about him. Here are the quotes from Orlovsky. He says, quote, "I'm a Jackson Dart guy. I don't think he makes it out of the top 10. If I were the Raiders, if I'm the Jets, if I were the Saints, I would be very seriously considering drafting him in the top 10.
Does he say why? Does he give more?
He says, dude, at the end of the day, can you see it and can you throw it at that position? He sees it well and he can throw it. Do you panic with the football in times of panic because that's the reality of the position in the league? He doesn't. Sometimes he gets it out. Sometimes just because of the athleticism, he gets himself out of bad and goes and creates good. He says Dart would be neck and neck with Shedeur Sanders for me." Mm. So he's got him right there as basically co-quarterback number two after Cam Ward.
Why are they down on Ward?
Ward is one. Yeah, yeah, he's got him basically on the same level as Shedeur Sanders.
I've heard him say, too, that the difference between one and two is far greater than the difference between two and three.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He feels like two and three, Dart and Sanders, close, but there's a huge chasm between Ward and the rest.
Hmm. I wouldn't see him going to those in the top 10 unless someone traded up. I wouldn't see the Raiders drafting him there since they've got Geno. I wouldn't see the Jets drafting him there since they went out and signed Fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he might be the perfect guy to sit for a year or two.
Okay, maybe for 2 years. I don't know if you draft someone 6 or 7 and sit him for 2 years.
Lance Zierlein from NFL.com, who we bring up his grades often, has him as a 6.17, good backup with potential to develop into starter, and compares him to Gardner Minshew.
Oh, Gardner Minshew comp?
I mean, that's a very low-end starter.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a long NFL career, and he's had spot starts, but I don't think it's a guy that you want to pin your hopes on and rely on him to be your starter for 17 games.
Mm-mm. God, it's so great.
I don't love that comp.
So great not to be in this for the first time in 30 years.
You're out of the quarterback wasteland, DB.
Right. Cakes Gardner Minshew is in.
Hold on. Don't tell me. He was with the Raiders. Where did he wind up? It's definitely not in the Raiders quarterback room.
He'll be on his fifth NFL team.
Hold on.
AFC or NFC?
Yeah, give me a hint.
All right, so he started with Jacksonville.
Yep.
Then he went to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Indy. Colts. Raiders.
AFC or NFC?
In the division. Same division that he was in last season.
So he's in the AFC West?
Ooh.
Chargers?
Chiefs?
He's a Chief.
Ah.
They sign him as a backup? Chiefs?
That's what I see here.
Hey, when it's all said and done, Gardner Minshew's going to make $45 million or $50 million in the NFL.
Does the guy still live in a camper?
I think he has like a weird, eclectic lifestyle, yeah.
Yeah,
he's a big pickleball guy, too.
Oh, is he?
Think so.
All right. All right. Anyway, I actually think Jackson Dart is an intriguing prospect, for sure. I have no idea where he's going to go, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being a solid starter in a league. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe not right away. You know, maybe
sits for a year
or, you know, 10 games, maybe plays a little bit and then kind of gets, you know, who knows?
Well, see, that's why Kuiper thinks he goes late first round and sits behind Stafford.
Okay. It makes sense.
Possibility.
Yeah, it's got to be the right fit. Got to be the right spot. You can't have the guy, who is it, Arthur Smith coaching him? You don't want
if you love him handing the ball off, he'd run a lot, and he'd hand the ball off a lot.
Right, right. So
you got him above Jalen Milroe. What have you? I've forgotten. Who else have you looked at so far?
I think Valdez remembers better than I do.
Valdez, you have it written down. Yeah. Do you have it on like? Have we done Cam Ward yet?
Will Howard.
I haven't done.
Okay, Will Howard.
Shedeur Sanders, Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart.
Who's the highest rated of those four?
As of right now, Shedeur Sanders is the highest rated at 81.3.
What nice. Did I get? What did I just give Jackson? 80 something?
80.6.
80.6.
Oh, basically the nice. Same. Yeah.
They're all in similar realm.
And who's the lowest? Is it Will Howard?
Will yeah. Howard is at, I think you had him at 50.6.
That sounds like
50.1.
Where do they have Will Howard going?
I mean, probably day three pick, I would guess.
I just saw Barstool do something similar with Will Howard.
Yeah.
And John Gruden.
He loves him.
He kind of comped him as his ceiling as being Josh Allen.
It's pretty good.
That's a pretty good ceiling. That's like a Hall of Fame ceiling.
That's a really good comp.
What's his floor?
If that's the case.
I don't know, but he said that he has physical traits and kind of a playing style like him.
Yeah, he's big.
Where he's like a bowling ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where do they have Milroe going?
I think third or fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Didn't Will Howard have a horrendous combine, like one of the worst combine workouts ever?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe he just had a bad case of the nerves, sailing balls, missing his targets.
I would definitely take Jackson Dart over Will Howard, that's for sure. And probably over Milroe, yeah.
All right, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour at 8:40, it's Masters Week. We'll talk with Timothy Gay.
The music kicks, what are we doing?
He's the author of Rory Land. He's going to join us in studio. That's coming up at 8:40 here on The Junks.